Hey everybody, welcome to StashMyComics.com podcast, episode 9. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Matt B. With me, as always, is Steven Sparks.
Yeah, I'm here somewhere, so...
He's there somewhere.
I'm here.
He's doing some research right now. But I wanted to go ahead and talk about the first thing that we always do on every show, and that's the news.
I love the news. Spider-Man cartoon.
Well, it's definitely the right move for them.
Update number 8 was released.
Broke the record for highest selling comic book of all time. Top secret classified documents.
The news is great, especially comic book news, not that other regular news.
Yeah, and you have some very interesting news to talk about today. So,
yes, and if you're listening to this, know that. Yes, this news might be a little old to you, but it's something we felt we had to mention on the show because, as I mentioned last week, we do 2 shows at once. But I could not go without mentioning this courtesy of Newsarama.com. The March San Antonio-based publisher, Antarctic Press, are planning to release a one-shot comic special titled Dead Poo. And you heard that right. Dead Poo. Not the excrement, but the... Fluffy, I guess he's not really that fluffy, the yellow bear from Disney.
A Pooh Bear is one of my favorite Disney things. Like, I so want to get the whole Pooh Crew tattooed on me, but my wife's like, you can't get that done. But she wouldn't mind, though. She goes, guys, don't get Winnie the Pooh tattooed on them. And I'm like, do I care what other people think?
Yeah, really?
No.
It would be a bold statement, I think.
Yeah, it's Winnie the Pooh is awesome.
Especially if you got a Dead Poo tattoo where he has, like, a gun and stuff.
Yeah, how, you know, BA is that? Or get the whole, like, Poo Crew in, like, Marvel or DC gear? So...
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping that this is a one-shot, but I'm hoping that they eventually go that route and have, like, the whole crew. But,
oh,
you know,
awesome.
A lot of people might be thinking, hey, how do they get away with this for, you know, lawsuits and copyrights and these things? But apparently... This falls under that gray area of, what's the word I'm looking for? Parody. So if you're doing a parody, you can kind of do whatever you want. And that's what this is. But if you look at it, I mean, it looks exactly like the Disney version of Winnie the Pooh with a Deadpool mask on. So
it looks awesome.
And I think everybody's going to be picking that thing up. That's going to be cool. Yep, so that was from Newsarama. Had to throw that little tidbit in there. You got anything you want to discuss?
Okay, who has pets, people? I think we all have a pet of some sort, either dog, cat, bird, gerbil,
yep.
Guinea pig, tree sloth. I think we all have something. I want a tree sloth. Me and my wife want one, but you can't have them in Michigan, so we're awfully sad. So we have to go to our, you know, the Detroit Zoo to go check it, the one they have.
Yeah.
But anyways, for all the common pets, cats and dogs, PetSmart, along with Pethead, have made a Marvel line for your pets. And it's...
Yep.
It is awesome. They have chew toys. They have everything. They have a Captain America crinkly chew toy. let's go with some other ones. Oh, man, they have an X-Men bandana. How awesome is that? you know, a lot of Captain America, Avengers stuff, you know... We got the movie coming out, so they're going to be focusing on that sort of stuff even more. They have a few Spider-Man outfits, which are really cool, and I would definitely get them for my dog or my cat. I don't think my cat's going to wear them, though.
Yeah.
So, because we all know that cats are royalty, and they don't need to listen to anybody.
I could definitely force my dogs to wear these.
Oh, yeah.
My cats, no, but...
Oh, man. So, it looks really cool. You can find them up at PetSmart.com. Just type in Marvel in the search bar and everything will come up. Ranges on shirts, I thought they were a little bit more expensive, but if you add shipping on it, I guess it's normal. But
yeah.
Shirts are like $12. You know, the bandanas are $6. And they're really cool. And I think all you comic book people out there need to dress your pets up in this awesome swag.
And they're kind of vintage looking, which is cool.
Yeah, that's another cool. You know, yeah, there's a few newer ones, like with the Avengers symbols you notice.
Right.
But a lot of cool vintage stuff from like the 80s look. And It's awesome. You know you guys want to go spend your money now, so
heck yeah,
go do it. It's still tax season. Spend your money.
Get your pet something. Come on.
Yeah, they even have tennis balls, and they're really cool.
And if you hate a particular character, like if you hate Captain America or Spider-Man or Iron Man or Hulk or Wolverine, your pet can sort of beat up on these things. And
exactly. How awesome is that?
Like a villain.
So, and if any of you people decide to do that, great idea. Film your pet.
Yes.
Beating the heck out of it.
We want to see this.
Yeah, send it to us and we will post it up. So, we like to see the bad in things too, and the good. We like the good, but, you know, it's always nice to throw in one bad thing here and there. So,
yeah, I'm surprised they don't have any of the villains, but I'm sure that'll come.
Oh, I hope so. You figured they'd throw in the Loki figure at least somewhere in here. Jeez.
But, now DC needs to step up.
And you know they will, so they'll get to it at some point, I figure.
Cool. Well, big score for Marvel there in terms of brownie points with me. Pet gear, awesome.
Yeah, I have two cats, and yeah, they're, geez, they get more things than me sometimes. So
that's how it goes. Well, for my last news item, I was going to talk about, and I have it on as a question mark here, Venom movie, because apparently this has been in the works for a while. I haven't really heard anything about it, but it's so much in the works that there is it's possible that they might get the director of the movie Chronicle, Josh Trank, to direct this.
Yes. Now, where was your feed from?
This is courtesy of bleedingcool.com.
Okay, yeah, because I'm up on superherohype.com right now, and yeah, they have the article up, and I'm just skimming it over real fast, see what they have, and we can compare the information. Yeah, this is just a little short excerpt, so.
Yeah, and it's apparently he's also the 20th Century Fox's top choice to reboot Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I've heard about that already.
He might be very busy, but I'd love to see a Venom movie. You know, I was one of the people that didn't think Spider-Man 3 was all that bad. It was a little crowded and had some hokey scenes in it, but
believe me, you're not the only one.
Yeah, it wasn't not the that only bad. One. Just like Green Lantern, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't
but,
that bad. Like, yeah. You're right. There were those, let's say, the emo scene in Spider-Man 3. Okay, we're gonna go Steve's Rage Cage a little right now. Really? You had to put that in the movie? If they would have took out that whole 20 minutes of the dancing, his hair over, you know, it's not emo. It's more of a gothic thing. Yeah. But it didn't need it. I thought the rest of the movie was pretty decent. I liked Venom, and I love Sandman.
Yeah.
So
what they should have done was just, you know, the classic mistake of too many villains in a movie. You could have had an entire movie just on Venom.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And which I guess is what they're going to go back and do. And who knows, maybe they'll bring this into continuity with the Spider-Man reboot somehow. I don't know.
That would be the smart idea, I think, to do, to actually have a solid movie. Because, I'm sorry, the fans want to see the top two people, I think, is Venom and Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
Who would not love to see Carnage in a Spider-Man movie?
Well, and what would be good about this is they could flesh out the whole Venom story. And then they wouldn't have to redo that if they bring him into a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
They could just throw him right in there and let Spider-Man wear the suit and get all crazy.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, you know, they could even do that, like, in the final, like, you know, do the same route with the first three films is, like, he gets the black symbiote, like, in, you know, movie two. And then in movie three, we see, you know, the introduction of Venom and
right.
the finale of Venom.
Yeah.
So we could have a whole movie in the black outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
That'd be sweet. Love the black outfit.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my last news item. You got one more thing you want to shout
yeah,
out?
Yeah, it's short, but it's cool. You know, we all know I love my toys and my bust and everything. Well, I just came across a really cool Annihilus bust that's coming out. Let's see. Do I have a date? Looks like June 11th it's going to be coming out. It's going to run about $275. But it is a really cool bust of Annihilus. Mm. And Annihilus was from the Annihilation. You know, he's part of the space, you know, group of the Marvel ragtag team and villains. And really old school feel, early Fantastic Four feel, and it's nicely sculpted. You know, he's got a nice skull in his hand, and oh, it's nice. Take a look on it. I found it at toychestnews.com, and they always get the most updated material on figures and bust. And they're keep on another little piece is they're keep on continuing with the DC anime things, turning all the girls into anime figures.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really cool Wonder Woman bust. I'm not a big fan of Wonder Woman, but the bust actually looks really nice. So take a look into the bust scene, and if you got the money, pick them up because they're fun to look at and they're nice display pieces.
Yep.
So yeah, that was about it all I had on the news front.
Okay. Well, that wraps up the news. Let's go ahead and jump into reviews.
The dialogue is so great. I don't know where in the timeline this is all taking place. Fans of Deathstroke are going to love this.
What ends up happening is that other people start finding out about this.
It's a bunch of humans in these invisible suits.
These guys look pretty hardcore.
And I have chosen a DC book, but not a common DC book, a book that I had no idea was even coming out. When I looked down the list, obviously last week I picked Age of Apocalypse. Another book that jumped out at me was this Night Force number one, which I guess existed before, but I knew nothing about it. And this is is one series out of seven. And I just decided to pick it up to have something new to read. But, man, I gotta say, I have no idea what I just read here.
Oh, I know. I'm looking this up right now because I've never even heard of it. So,
well, and it's extremely confusing. Marv Wolfman is the writer, and
okay.
Tom Mandrake does the art, and the art is spectacular. And actually, the story isn't bad. It's just you can tell that this is the kind of thing that you're going to have to read the entire thing to understand what was going on. And the beginning is so cryptic and jumps around so much that I had to reread it a couple times to try to figure out what was going on. So if you like books like that have you totally confused and trying to figure things out, this is going to be a book you'll like. It's reminds me a little bit of Justice League Dark and sort of the dark and horror nature of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the covers right now for it's 14-issue series. And yeah, I was going for that. I'm like, is this like a supernatural type book? Because I'm seeing pentagrams, I'm seeing fires and skulls and
yep.
dark creatures that hide in your closet. And then at issue 13, I see a guy burning on a swastika.
Yeah.
So that really threw me off there. So,
well, and it jumps around quite a bit. The beginning is this woman drowning. Well, you can tell she's being choked underwater. She has this really odd vision of sort of this alien creature that looks like it's been given birth to, and then that's just one page, and then all of a sudden you're out of that whole thing and you see a cop, and then the cop gets called to the scene. He sees this lady being choked, he saves her, and now we're jumping elsewhere. We're jumping into this mansion where this creepy guy who lives in the mansion, and he has this talking leopard, and I don't even know all the names here because they're mentioned in passing, but you never really get a sense of who's who.
I can sort of indulge in all that.
Okay.
It looks – I'm on the DCWikia.com for mm-hmm. Night Force, and we have this group created by Baron Winters, and we have Vanessa Van Helsing,
okay.
Dr. Donovan Kane, Jack Gold, Kane. So, that's the figures.
I guess this is just one – guy they're focusing on at the moment, and his cat that talks, which is pretty cool. But so we do a quick scene with him, and he's reading this thing called the Book of Night, and he's talking about how the book is becoming a lot less helpful than it was before. And then we jump to a hospital, and the cop that saved the woman is trying to help her out, and what's really weird is what happens here is that he realizes that the call that he got to save her was not actually from dispatch. He's not sure where it came from. And then they're let out of this hospital, the girl in a wheelchair, and they're not in a hospital anymore. They're in the mansion of the creepy guy with the leopard. And so, like I said, you're jumping around so much, and all these different things are thrown at you. It gets very hard to know what's going on. And for some people, that might be an enticement to keep reading. For me, it's not so much. It's I got to jump off because it's not in my budget kind of thing. You know, I need something that makes me want to read the second issue, not just utter confusion. But it's not my bag. The art's great. I think the story overall is going to be really cool. But if you're not patient, like me, and you don't have the money, it might not be your cup of tea.
Sounds boring, actually.
Yeah, I hate to be critical of a book, but this one just, you know, they can't all be winners for everyone.
No, but it's always nice to, you know, give these comics that are hidden in people's closet a little light once in a great while.
Yeah. You know, this is a horror mystery, and I have a feeling that if this was an independent book, that a lot of people would really be digging it. It has more of that indie feel to it, because it's a main DC title. It'll probably get swept under the rug, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
because you can tell these guys put a lot of effort into this. So
a lot of thought bubbles, dialogue bubbles in the book. I take it.
Yeah, it's a pretty long read, and now that I'm looking through it, I'm like desperate almost to read through it again so I can figure something out.
All right. Well, if you think of anything, let's bring it on the next show again, and you can dissect it again.
Yeah, or maybe if I can just read a preview of the next one, I can get some idea of what happened. But even the art reminds me of Justice League Dark. It's a interesting read. So pick it up if you like that sort of thing. That's all I got because I was confused and I really couldn't work my way through it like I usually want to. So what do you want to talk about? For reviews?
All right. Well. Let's see, I decided to do something new. Okay. I just picked a random issue out of my boxes about the top. So let's see how well I can remember these issues.
Okay.
So this will be interesting, I think. Let's bear with me here. We're going to have a little fun here.
Okay. Well, say what you said before because you cut out for just a second.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Let's see. What I did was about 5 minutes before we started doing this episode, I went into my lovely vault of all these comic books I've had, and I just like picked out a random issue out of somewhere.
Okay.
So I picked out, it was the only issue I had of this. A little background, I had the video game called X-Mutants, and it was all right video game. It was for Sega Genesis. It was sort of lame also, but it was okay. A mix in the air, really hard, and I still have the game too. Well, Malibu did a comic book based on it, so I saw the one issue at a comic book store, and I picked it up. So the artwork is great. People that are on it, let's see, we have Charles Marshall, Patrick Rollo, and Bobby Ray. So I really liked the artwork a lot in the book. Some of the characters in it were Ark, Shannon, I think a guy's name was Guy. And since this is issue 16, I have no clue what's going on. I'm looking at it, and Shannon's on fire, taking down Ark. And they're in this huge battle. Ark gets on fire, and she's burning up, and it's just crazy. And then you see one of the weaker people, and he's like, oh, no, you killed, you know, Ark. And he turns into flames and everything, and it's just green flames. And it gets really crazy. And then she goes all optic blast on this guy and right in his head and tries to kill him. Oh, and then this one, the one big guy, I think his name was Ray. Aykroyd. Okay, there we go. His name was Aykroyd, and he's all grabbing Shannon and trying to hold her and calm her down. And we just see bodies on the floor, and it's getting crazy. A lot of optic blast happening, because that's what she's doing. She's shooting lasers from her eyes, and it's cool. And then we see this like ragtag team of, I think they were villains at the time, but their names were like Mongrel, Mud Monster, and it was just crazy. Oh wait, yeah, we have Posse, Mongrel, the Arrow, Poison, and Bone. And this is a Mongrel's just like a dog, and this posse guy has his ponytail slicked back, these circle glasses. The Arrow looks like a really, really bad ripoff of Hawkeye and what's the other one's name? Oh, Green Arrow from DC. So, you know, I know my archers. So maybe one of our other local people, Nico Kaler, can shine some light and do some digging since he loves his archers. So it's pretty funny. The Bone guy's got these huge, like, Liberty spikes kicking out from his head, and I don't know what they're doing. They're looking for somebody, and they run into this guy called Cybernet, who's this massive machine-like guy who's hooked up with all these tubes to him, and it looks like he's running a pretty big network of things. And then it's funny, this ragtag group, they get into a fight, and this Arrow guy shoots the ponytail guy, and I think he's dead. And it just gets crazy. And then this group starts fighting each other, and I don't know why they're fighting, but it's really funny. This team, they're fighting with each other, and then it's sort of cool because then there's a advertisement for the Ferret, which I think he was one of the bigger Malibu characters at the time.
The Ferret?
The Ferret. Oh, he was. He looks like Aquaman with long hair, and he wears a half-piece domino across his eyes. Weird. So everybody look it up.
What's the reference to the animal? I own a couple ferrets, and I'm wondering like what their powers would be besides stealing stuff.
I don't know. I'm looking on the next page, and there's one for the protectors.
Huh.
So, you know, maybe we can do a little Malibu piece and bring them some light again.
This is what I love about these type of comics, though. You pick them up, and it's, especially if you're not familiar with it, it's this entire other universe. And when you look at the ads in there for these other books that they have coming out, you're like, who is this?
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we can do a Malibu piece and see what they have to offer. You know, we can go into the bargain bins and pick up a few issues and discuss Malibu for, you know, a good 20 minutes. And
I've got some. We could do that.
Yeah, we could. Let's work on something like that soon. So everybody out there, look forward to a piece like that at some point in time.
We'll call it Obscure Comic Book Company of the 90s.
Yeah, you know, luckily, you know, I got, you know, so many issues, so it was nice to just pick out. I tried to make it as random as possible. So let's go on. We see one of the guys, he's got this, like, techno virus on him, one of the other main characters in the group, and it looks like Shannon's still whooping on everybody, and I don't know, now it seems like everybody's better, and they're hugging and shaking hands, and then it pans out into a cave with these demons. And let's see what else. And then they're in the cave, and you see like a group picture of them all. And it looks like they have superpowers, but then they use normal weapons like crossbows, katanas, scythes, and an axe and a sword. So I don't know the point of that.
Yeah, ex-mutants. I was wondering if they used to be mutants and then lost their power somehow. I don't know.
This is issue 16, so.
Huh.
Let's see. Yeah, it's crazy. But then we see this door open, and the Shannon character's like, Chakra. This is like crazy. I don't know. I think they're going in like Shaka Khan or something like that. I don't know. And then we see this big bad guy, the main guy of the video game, Gravestone. And he's on the final page, and he's like, I will fight you to the grave, Chakra, and then beyond. Ooh. So then it says, next issue, more Arrow, more action, more everything. Be here for the story we're calling Dead Man's Ember.
Mm.
Oh, so and then we're, I'll go into like a few of the more, the advertisements in it so we can get a little bit more clues. Dinosaurs for Hire. I remember seeing issues of this back in the day. So there's another Malibu comic, and they're advertising for this one starring Manhattan Bob and Burrow Boy. So
what would you hire dinosaurs to do besides destroy stuff, I wonder?
I don't know. And then
yard work.
Yeah, and it's just, then I'm just looking, and they have another like little Malibu advertisement, and it has all the Malibu characters. And they're like, variety is the spice of life.
That they have. They do have variety.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Club Malibu on the back, and it says Hugs and Kisses, and it shows a picture of the couple of the month. So, yeah. Let's see. Some other names associated with this is the cover artist was Derek Robertson. The cover colorist was Gloria Vasquez. I think that's Vasquez. Jennifer Schillinger is the interior color design, and Kello Graphics were the color separation. So there's some other names to throw out. So,
well, and I'm calling this company obscure, but I'm looking it up on Wikipedia, and actually they had quite a bit of crossovers with Marvel at some point.
Yeah, you know, and they did the whole Ultraverse thing too. Yep. So, you know, Prime, Sludge, you know, Ruin. So, you know, that was Malibu's main line, I think. Their main focus. So, yeah, that was the do we want to call it a blast from the past, or do we just call it obscure comics?
Obscure comic book, that's good.
Just a random one, and we don't even read it. Yeah, I think the last time I read this issue was about 9 years ago, 10 years ago. It was done in 94, so.
That was right about the time they were going out of business, too. So.
Yeah, really? So, yep. So yeah, that was really obscure and really random, and I hope some of you guys enjoyed that piece. I tried.
No, it's funny hearing about this. Well, cool. All right, well, that wraps up reviews. We'll go lastly now into our special segment. And for this last one, I figure I didn't have anything else that I could come up with that was new and exciting, but it got me to thinking about back when I was a youngster reading comics, and just I figured we'd go over some of the things that we read and the experiences we had being in the, I don't know, 9 to teenager range with comic books.
All right, yeah, 9 to 15 sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's about when most of us started reading, assuming we started as kids.
Yeah, I started in 91 I started.
Okay, so right during the big boom.
Yes.
I want to say I was probably late 80s, and then in the middle 90s was when I kind of jumped out. But I do remember going to a drugstore and picking up stuff on the spinner rack until the big boom came out. I think it was a Rite Aid. And me and a buddy would go and get a pound of M&Ms and pick up a bunch. Hold on, I cut out here.
All right.
Pick up a bunch of comics. So, and usually it was Amazing Spider-Man or Punisher. I always had to pick up Punisher, and luckily the spinner rack always had it. But I remember you had to search around for one that was in decent condition. Sometimes you get the one in the front that's all bent in half. You don't want that one.
No.
Where did you start picking up comics? Was it a store, like a drugstore, or actual comic book store?
Well, you know, I can say I have been very fortunate in my comic collecting career because I've always had comic stores to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When I first started, I had two stores near me. One was called Lucky – hang on. I got to zoom back. It was called Lucky Strike, and then A to Z Comics.
Hmm.
And I think A to Z is still in business till today.
Wow.
So I would go there. I was on their pull list. It was a free pull list at the time too, so that was really cool.
Hmm.
Now you have to pay something. I started off like everybody else. The big ones, you know, Marvel. I started off with Spider-Man right away. It was sort of weird how I got into comics. I can actually remember this. My brother actually picked up some Spider-Man comics. He was actually younger. He's like 26, and I'm 30. So, or he's, I don't know. He's like 25 or something like that. I don't pay attention. But he didn't want them, and then I read them one day. I was like, oh my god, this is really cool. So I started, you know, getting more comics. You know, Spider-Man was the big kick. I have a lot of Spider-Man comics from the 90s. And a few of the more notable ones were Amazing Spider-Man with The Return and The Revenge of the Sinister Six.
Hmm.
And that those story arcs got me into comics big time.
I'll tell you what changed the game for me talking about Spider-Man was when Todd McFarlane came out with his, I guess it was just the regular Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge for us because the art on that was just totally different from anything you were used to seeing and used to picking up. You were just like, oh my gosh, every page is like a piece of art. And I've gone back since and read that one before, and it doesn't blow me away quite as much as it did back then, but there was quite a contrast with him drawing. It kind of blew open the artistic door, I think.
Yeah, because it's funny because you had our current image, the image guys. You had, you know, Jay Lee, you had Todd McFarlane, you had Eric Larson,
mm-hmm.
Rob Liefeld. You had all these guys, and they were like all working on Spider-Man at that time.
Yep.
And Spider-Man was just, it was number one. You know, they had Spectacular Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, and Spider-Man. And they were all huge books.
Yeah. Yeah, I stuck with Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man for years, and occasionally I'd pick up the other ones. But and the other artist that I was always happy to see was Jim Lee. Now, back when I was reading Punisher, he had a run there, and I remember when he left, I was like, ah, dang it, that Jim Lee guy isn't drawing Punisher anymore.
Oh my!
I loved his art. That was
him
and Tom McFarlane are the first artists that I actually like recognized and looked for when I was buying comics.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how Rob Liefeld was for me. So because I saw his work, I'm like, oh, this is awesome, man. Yeah, and then let's see, like for me, from there, you know, at that time my family moved, and then I had another two comic book stores near me. They were in walking distance. So I always had comics, you know. It was really cool at that time. But then, still in the Marvel, and you know, pretty much Marvel was 90s and early 2000s.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I dropped out in the, once I got into sort of late high school and college, and didn't really pick one up again until, maybe like the year 2000. I remember walking into a Walden bookstore. They actually still had a rack, and I just picked up a Hulk randomly, and I remember thinking to myself, gosh, these things are expensive now. And I read it and thought it was okay, and then put it away, and then didn't read anything for another 9 years or so. And then I picked up a Wizard, the now-defunct Wizard magazine, and what was it, Wizard or Wizard World? I can't remember.
It was Wizard. Okay. I still have a few issues myself.
Yeah. It was one focusing on comics, and decided to pick it up and see what was going on in the comic book world, and I picked up Batman and Robin and got hooked again ever since. So,
you know, I was just thinking we should do a piece is pull out some of these old Wizards and everything, and we should go look at the articles.
Oh, yeah.
And see what was, like, really cool at the time. I actually had the ones when they were bringing out the new Marvel universe.
Cool.
So, and, you know, Wizard had, you know, send us $3 and we'll send you like an issue number zero. And so, I'll try to find mine. I think I got like three or four issues.
Okay.
So, dig those out and maybe we can do some, what was hot at the time.
Cool. All right. Well, I just wanted to chat a little bit about that. We're getting close to our time. I gotta mention the stashmycomics.com website, go to the forums and make sure that you use the comic book tracking software. It comes in really handy if you have a mobile device and you're in a comic book store and you forget which issues of, let's say, Doom 2099 you're missing. You'll have it all right there. And check out facebook.com/stashmycomics, twitter.com/stashmycomics. I think you're seeing a theme here. My Twitter is Matt B. Podcaster, and Stevens is
Steven Sparks, SMC.
Yep. Join us there, definitely. And hey, one more thing, Steven. I've because I have sort of a tight budget, I've decided to do something pretty cool that might be interesting for us to both do and then talk about on the show. As most of you know, Rob Liefeld is going to be involved in three of DC's books coming up here, Grifter, Deathstroke, and Savage Hawkman. And what I've decided to do, I've been getting Deathstroke, but I'm kind of excited about him writing, being involved in these other books too. I'm going to do what I call the Rob Liefeld challenge. And I'm going to pit these three books against each other. I've got them ordered. They'll be in at the, I guess, the end of May for me. And well, I'm going to let them duke it out and see which one I'm going to continue on with. So.
All right. So what books do I need to go get?
when number 9 comes out, you need to get Grifter, Savage Hawkman, and Deathstroke.
Okay. You know, I really wanted to get picked up on Grifter and Voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an advertisement that had Superman and Hellspont.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually still have my Hellspont figure. Cool. From the Wildcats series that came out in, like, the 90s.
Right.
So he was one of my favorite characters. Everybody's like, oh, he's a rip-off of, like, Wolverine and Ghost Rider or whatever. But I liked the Wildcats. I thought they were a really cool team. And, you know, then when Grifter and Voodoo got their own series and then I saw, like, the Damon Knights were coming back, I'm like, I want to pick up an issue or two. So I accept.
All right. Yeah, and he's got a bunch of other cool stuff coming out, you know. I'll leave that at, you know, its own challenge. But the Extreme 2012 stuff is actually looking pretty cool. The, I guess, Bloodstrike is coming back out, or it's already out, I think. And they continue on. I guess it left off issue 25, and 26, I believe, is out already.
Mm.
And then what else did they bring back? Youngblood, I believe, has come back. And then Supreme, which is a leftover issue that I guess Alan Moore did, and they're going to bring back that script and draw it.
Yeah.
Isn't that Larson that's drawn it?
Yeah, Larson's drawn it, and Corey Hampshire.
Okay.
And, you know, I have last month's review. Actually, you know, maybe we'll go into a little Image talk real fast.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Supreme's going to be really cool. I'm looking at a few preview pages for it, so that's really going to be something to get into. And that starts off at, I do believe, issue 63.
Okay.
So that might even be out still. Let's see. When's that come out? Oh, April 4th that comes out.
Ah.
So that looks really cool. On our blog at Stashman Comics, Jason Newcomb, I think, went over America's Got Power, which is going to be a limited six-issue series about people with powers on a TV show.
Cool.
So, that's definitely going to be, I think, a definitely pick up. And then there's going to be Secrets. This is one that I was looking forward to. I'll just give a little excerpt from it. It's also on the site. It's a man gets shot in London. A law firm gets broken into in Washington. An accountant gives away the password to his computer. And something puts to sleep 20 years ago awakens. Hmm. What is the unsavory relationship all these things share? And how could it bring down two of the largest governments in the world?
Wow.
And, yeah, the preview scenes are awesome. This guy's getting tortured by this agent. And it looks pretty intense.
Hmm.
And then let's see what else we have coming out. Oh, my God. This is something I'm going to get. It's called 68 Scars. This is going to be a zombie-themed Vietnam War type thing.
Oh, man.
This is going to be intense. The covers look awesome. They have number one is going to have four different variant covers. We're going to have an Elvis variant cover in zombie mode. That's going to be sweet. We have a John Lennon one, and then we have a zombie that has half his face cut off.
Mm.
And then we have like a side profile of the skull with an army hat on. And the little excerpt from this, I'll get everybody going on these, is Saigon is in flames. Private Chuen Yam is alone and screaming. A handful of human survivors maintain a weakening hold on the only gateway to the skies and escape from Vietnam. Hmm. And the muddy waters of the Mekong Delta churn like a hellish river. Sticks at the bloated dead rise from the depths. So I'm going to get all these. So, and then the last one is going to be Danger Club number one.
Hmm.
This looks pretty cool. The art is definitely interesting. You know, I won't go into the excerpt. I guess we'll leave this one for the fans, I figure.
Danger Club.
Danger Club. This is written by Landry Q. Walker, and the art and the cover is done by Eric Jones. Let's see. Did we have any other major names? Doesn't look like there's any other major names on the other ones.
Hmm.
So besides on Secret, it's Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, yeah.
So, and let's see.
Jason reviewed that in the blog, if anybody's
okay.
interested.
Yeah, I think that one's probably going to be the more sought after out of these number ones that are coming out.
Yeah, anything with Hickman,
yeah.
people are going to pick up. Cool.
So that was on the Image front. I thought you'd give that a little more spotlight.
Yeah, because they got a ton of new stuff coming out with a lot of famous people from Marvel and DC, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and like I said, I think Image is going to be surpassing one of these top twos within the next 5 years.
Yeah,
I honestly
disagree.
Think so.
They're going that way, and the more creators get upset with not owning their stuff and not getting the props that they deserve, they're going to make more books with Image because it's just yeah. easier for them to get control of their stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. That does it for this episode, number 9. We'd like to thank you for joining us and hope you will join us next week. Blah. My mouth is getting tired. For StashOfMyComics.com podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.